Hey, Mark.
Hey, Katie.
Hey, you want to do a podcast?
Yeah.
Sweet. Okay. Welcome to the Unforget Yourself show, where we use the power of woo and the proof of science to help you identify your blind spots, get over your own bullshit, so that you can do the fucking thing you actually want to do.
Absolutely. I'm Mark.
And I'm Katie.
And we're the founders of Unforget Yourself and the creators of the Unforget Yourself system. Look, being a business owner is tough.
Yeah.
With vulnerability and with humor, mm-hmm. we'll be sharing with you the real stories behind the success of those brave and crazy enough to start their own business. And to show you that you're not alone.
You're not. Well, from the accidental entrepreneur to the laser-focused CEO, we have honest conversations about how they got to where they are today. We talk about the challenges that they faced and what they're currently dealing with in real time on their roller coaster journey. Along the way, we want to show you that it's you. You are the most important asset in your business.
Yeah, you are. So let's cut the bullshit and start the show.
Enjoy.
Okay, hello everyone and welcome to the show. Now, just a quick interruption to your normally scheduled podcast. Are you thinking about starting your own podcast? Or maybe you have a podcast, but it's an expensive hobby or a labor of love. But what if a podcast wasn't just a podcast? Imagine turning your ideas, your skills, and your gift into a profitable business tool. At Profitable Podcasts, we help coaches and entrepreneurs to create, launch, and monetize their podcasts with ease, to build visibility and authority, and attract leads and clients easily and simply. So skip the overwhelm and the never-ending social media, emails, workshops, networking, and attract your perfect clients, all without spending a thing on ads. So if you're ready to make your voice your most powerful asset, let's talk. Reach out or head over to profitablepodcast.com to see how this will work for you. And now, onto your scheduled podcast episode. So today we have with us Cal Thomas, the owner of a Sandler training franchise who helps business owners and individuals to elevate their sales, leadership, and management effectiveness through customized training and coaching. Through his comprehensive approach, which focuses on attitudes, behaviors, and techniques, Cal guides solopreneurs to mid-market companies to overcome their limiting beliefs and implement repeatable processes that transform their performance. Now, Cal's commitment to his personal mission statement, developed at age 24, I am here to help others live life and to lead by example. This shapes how he approaches his business and client relationships. And while facing the typical challenges of entrepreneurship, he's found fulfillment in watching individuals change and thrive by applying the principles he teaches, creating both personal and financial independence. Fantastic. Cal, welcome to the show.
Hey, Mark, so great to be here. And I have to say, you're one of the most charismatic guys I've run into in a long time. And one of those otherwise well-meaning people that make an introduction that it's hard to live up to. So I think thanks for that.
You're going to live up. You're going to do even better. But thank you so much. I appreciate that. So nice to hear. But now it's your turn. So if you can just expand a touch more on, you know, where you are today with your business, and you know, tell me, who is it that you love to work with?
So I love to work with people who are doing well and they have a success, or as many people have read the books about, a growth mindset, and they're doing well, they want to do better. Mm. But in short, I guess we are a sales and leadership strategy and training business. That's what we do. We spend a lot of time with great sales teams or individuals, a lot of solopreneurs, as you mentioned, who want to take it to the next level, but they're afraid they're not making the most of their prospecting activities or behaviors. We had talked earlier about some people who get some great marketing, some great inbound leads, and then they find their clients aren't able to execute, pull the trigger, and have those conversations.
Mm.
We have a lot of people that do well with, okay with that, but they're really worried that their sales cycles get longer and longer. And I don't know if you find it, Mark, or other guests, but they can't get people to make a decision.
Mm. Okay, hold on. That is the whole point of sales, well, marketing and sales, to get people to make a decision. I don't care whether it's a hell yes or a hell no. I celebrate a decision either way. Yeah. It's our job as business owners, solopreneurs, salespeople, to be able to guide someone to the correct decision whilst also being the buffer and the filter to not allow the wrong people into our world. So it works. It does work. Let's talk about that later, because that's one thing not many people focus on. They focus about how to get the sale, not repel or keep the wrong people out. So for that correct decision, can you just expand on this for me? Because to guide someone to the right place in sales, entrepreneurs can feel salesy or sleazy. It can be hard. And what happens? We avoid. We don't make the invitation. And then what happens? We never make the sale. And then we blame the process, blame ourselves, rather than we didn't do the thing that we should have done through emotion. Can you unpack that for me? Because I know this is a lot of the work that you do.
Wow, that's how much time do we have? Now, emotion, you hit on, Mark, it's emotion, right? And we call that pain in Sandler terms. And the definition of pain is a personal emotional reason for doing something different. So for in a sales role, what we find, especially with what we call non-traditional sales, like engineers or architects or marketing people sometimes, right? They show up asking a lot of questions, but to solve a problem. They're not asking questions, which in my opinion is the right way to figure out what's going on in their heads. What's the actual personal impactful thing that's impacting them personally and their business? So sales to me is a conversation between adults to get to the truth. I grew up as a purchasing guy, Mark. I don't even like salespeople. Now let me take that back. I don't like salesy salespeople, but I think we're all repelled by salesy salespeople. So there's a whole lot to unpack in that one, but it's getting through a lot of what we call head trash, false beliefs that we have to show up and throw up all our features and the benefits that we think are going to make somebody else better, all our reasons, when the reality is, like, we've got to shut the heck up and listen and figure out what the problem is. And to your point, maybe it's a problem we can help them fix. Maybe it's not. Maybe they don't want me to help them fix it. Maybe they can't afford it. I'm good with all of that as long as we figure it out quickly and we part ways and shake hands and we're friends.
But you don't know this until you ask the right questions. I remember when I was a newbie in business and I did all the sales training and it was, Mark, you're talking too much. You're training. I'm like, I'm trying to help. But it was repelling people. Even though it wasn't pure sell, it was, I'm trying to be super helpful, but I've given them way too much. On the flip side, because you said some great words there, the sales architects, sales engineers, you're trying to find the way in when really, if you can flip that script to curiosity, from that place, I think changes so much. You just lit up there. So can you expand on that curiosity in sales?
Yeah, we actually have a thing called the curiosity curve. In our training, and it's about, not everybody's like you, genuinely curious. So some people, maybe, like, I won't name names or titles, but we need to make sure in our heads, our belief is we have to be curious to find out what's going on with that person, that company. Again, we may have a solution, we may not. And if I try to force something down their throat because we think it's good, they're going to shut down. Their defenses are going to go up. So we have another thing called the 70-30 rule. 70% of our effort in the sales operation must be gathering information, not giving information, which is completely counterintuitive, my experience, to most sales organizations. I don't know what you see.
I think from most sales organizations, programs, coaches, they would agree. It's gather, gather, gather. But the human tendency for us is to, I can tell you why you're wrong. I can share that with you. So I think everyone's taught the right way, but we get in our own way. We try too hard, which then it's kind of the battle. So I think, yeah, does that make sense? It's us who gets in the way. So let's go down that rabbit hole, because you said about beliefs. And the beliefs about, you said a couple of times, salespeople, you didn't like salespeople. Their protection, that is the one thing that gets in our way. Personal, health, relationships, business, it's that protection mode. So if you feel like someone's selling you, down come the gates, the barriers come up, even though they may not be. But if we see that, it's like, ha, see, I kept the bad guys out. But without opening up our curiosity for the opportunities, we may miss something. So that protection is due to old beliefs. And if you believe everyone's trying to sell you, well, every message on LinkedIn, everything on Facebook, everything you see is the message is selling. And no wonder you can't do it, because now you don't want to be that person. So what don't you do? You don't make any invitations, don't make any sales, and wonder why business is hard. It's a vicious loop.
It is a vicious loop. And it is the stuff that's in our head that we learn between 0 and 7 years old. Typically, that's a whole psychology discussion. But a very, very brief story. At lunch, breakfast with a guy. He's the head of a very successful engineering firm. And he said to me, Cal, I've heard you guys do good things, because it was a referral from a great client. And they said, but he said, there's no way in the world I'm going to invite you in and try and make salespeople out of my engineers. They hate it. They don't want to be doing it, and they're afraid. So I looked him right in the eye and I said, if anyone ever tells you that they're going to come in and make salespeople out of your engineers, don't even finish breakfast, get up and walk away. And he looked at me like I had three heads. He said, but that's not what sales is about. You know, you said earlier, it's about conversation between adults to get to the truth and fact finding. And engineers are great at following a process. We teach and train a process, as do you. If you follow the process, you do it well. And I also want to disqualify, you mentioned that earlier, I want to disqualify people. So many people are spending too much time in sales roles with people they probably should not be spending time with, because they got happy ears because whatever reason.
Okay, so when you have a process, when you have something to follow, then it's like training. You just get good, get good, get good. And when it's questions, it turns into, we always think, and I thought this when I first started, sales is the art of talking. I was told before, you've got the gift of the gab, Mark. You should be a salesperson. When really it should be, no, you have a great ear. You should be a good salesperson because you can listen. So the gift of the gab, the influence, manipulation, whatever you want to call it, versus truly caring and truly hearing. So can you shift that for me? So you teach and train a process, but that listening, that being present, where I'm thinking about what you need to say, to actually be in that moment, it can feel tough to start with. How do you guide people through that part of things?
It depends on their communication style, and to some degree, right? I had a great conversation this morning with a person who's, if you're familiar with DISC, I think, D-I-S-C, it's just how people prefer to communicate and take in information. And this person is very rigid, methodical. I'm the opposite. So in this meeting, I had to be quiet. I had to stop myself from talking, and I had to ask questions and then be very, very patient so she could get out the questions and the points that she needed to make. I think there were 72 of them. It was a lot. But I needed to change my preferred communication style to match hers. Yeah. And that made all the difference in the world. She starts on Wednesday, by the way.
Oh, fantastic. Okay, so we do have to see who we're talking to. And it's not a case of be a chameleon and change. It's more, I think, allowing the person to be more themselves. It's allowing them to talk, explain, see. So it's not selling people, it's helping them to buy, and people want to buy in their way. So is that all you did really? It's you knew what she was like, you knew her personality, her traits. So we need to go down, do we take the beachfront, do we take the forest, or do we take the air? Who knows which route? And once you know what it is, then it's like, okay, we'll go this way. I know where we're going.
And it wanted to drink that way because she became very comfortable in the conversation. She said, I really appreciate the no pressure, which, right, sales can't be pressure, although that's counterintuitive as well. But it led us to a path of yes or no again, Mark. So, you know, toward the end of the conversation, I don't know for you if this investment and your ROI is worthwhile or not for you. I can give you examples, but only if you want them. And it's up to you to figure out A, B, or C. where do you think we should go from here? So there's a lot of attitude in there, belief systems that I'm comfortable. There's a lot of behavior on how we got there. And there's a little bit of technique on how you ask the questions.
You said the word comfortable a couple of times. And so this is a contradiction. So within, let's say, a sales conversation, I know that when I talk to potential clients, I will take to a place which can be uncomfortable because they're seeing, maybe for the first time, their true situation. They're seeing and explaining why things aren't working. It brings up doubt, guilt, worry, and we want to avoid run. So it's a skill to hold that space of, hey, this is going to feel a bit uncomfortable, but also make them feel comfortable doing that with you. So I think that is a gentle, it's a tango, it's a dance. How do you help people to maybe approach that? Because it's not about, you don't only make them feel comfortable or only make them feel uncomfortable. It has to be a bit of both.
It does, Mark, and that's very insightful. And we have not talked about any of this. So it's in the very beginning of a conversation, I'm going to say, Mark, I want to find out what you want to accomplish today, just because I don't know whether I do or not. What I want to accomplish today is ask a lot of questions because I'm a curious guy. And my job today is to figure out whether we're a good match or we're even a good resource for you, because I don't know if we are or not yet. But I think by the end of our 40 minutes or 60 minutes, you know, one of maybe three things will happen. Either we'll figure out that it's really a good idea to work together. We'll figure out that it's really not a good idea to work together. Or we have to put a time and a date in the calendar that we agree to continue the conversation and decide if someone else should join us. And I don't know where that's going to go. Okay, why don't you start? Tell me a little bit about blank. So that's attitude. It's certainly behavior, and it's certainly a little bit of technique to get people comfortable. Now, hopefully I've done a better job of bonding and rapport than asking about the weather or talking about their stupid sports team. I know that just offended half your audience. But that's not a great way to open. So I need to be a little different, and we need to make people comfortable in the sales process. Now, if we're not comfortable, that's fine. But the other party needs to be comfortable. And so the same woman I was speaking with, she said, so what I'm gathering is I need to get in a headspace that I need to be comfortable being uncomfortable frequently in my sales process. And I said, boom, you just nailed it. And that's 100% true. Sometimes we do.
Yeah, but it's, do you either feel uncomfortable with lack of sales and lack of results, or uncomfortable having these conversations? You do this more, it becomes more comfortable. I used to suck at podcasting when I first started. We knew this was a fantastic thing. The first interviews, it was maybe doesn't show on the outside, but on the inside, I was like, what am I doing? Why am I doing this? Who am I? Now we're thousands of episodes in. It's beautiful how it's helped our business. But it's that consistency, and it's being able to be comfortable. So I think there is a one term there. So it's okay for you not to be comfortable. And I will agree with that to a point, because it's not okay for you to continue to feel, if you're uncomfortable, if you don't believe in your system, if you don't believe in your product, if you don't believe that you are the most important thing bar none in that person's life, they are going to feel that too. So whilst you can mask it, there's a couple of techniques you can do before a sales call to get yourself to believe, to be present, to be helpful. So maybe you can talk about that, because this helps you. When we practice, you start to be, you become comfortable.
Yeah, practice is part of it. The other is, and we have a lot of triangles, and we call it the U triangle, and it's about just what you said, belief in yourself, belief in your business, belief in the economy, or whatever the belief systems are. And a lot of the belief challenges people have is lack of what I call, Mark, equal business stature, which is just my term, or a similar term. Now, if I'm not comfortable going and meeting the CEO of a $14 million company because I'm just a salesperson, or I'm just a service provider, or I'm just anything, that's going to be very difficult to overcome. If I have the belief that my grandfather gave me when I was about six that said, well, everybody puts their trousers on one leg at a time, then I believe I have equal value to bring them They may or may not want to work with me. I may or may not want to work with them. So I need to establish that in my own head. And then together, we've got to have that equal business stature. And that does come over time, right? I have a daily affirmation, Mark, that says, my prospects look forward to and enjoy speaking with me. I didn't always believe that, to be honest. I believe it now, wholeheartedly. Yeah. But there was a time where I wasn't sure. And I know you talk about imposter syndrome, and it's okay to have a little of that, but then we got to get rid of that head trash and get to that equal stature, because we all have, and we all should.
Ooh, I want to plow through that and say equal stature. I mean, I can talk to a billionaire who doesn't know how to manage their thoughts and emotions, or doesn't know how to do podcasting. They may be super duper good at building cars or leading teams, but you know what? Equal stature? No. You may have more success and more money than me in that monetary term, but old sweet billionaire, I am the authority. I am above you in this arena. That's where it comes back into belief. So tell me, let's make this real, because what's this journey been like for you? Because you've obviously gone through your own personal development. You've as you've grown this business for yourself, you're teaching sales, you're helping other people through it, but also you're having to do it for yourself as well. So what's it like to like hold the two sides of this?
There's a lot going on in here, right? And part of it is having other peers that you can talk with, right? I have a handful of other peers. I have a leadership group that we're part of. That's what helps with that. So I came from purchasing. So did I have a little bit of that imposter syndrome when my old buddies from there saying, you're a traitor, you switched and went to the other side. I said, no. I'm helping people have better conversations with you. So for me, sure. I mean, I started a business that had exactly $750 in revenue forecast for the first 3 months. That wasn't a lot, at least not in my book, but I had the belief. And here's the fun thing that I get to do is I have the attitude, the behavior, and the technique that I teach everybody about attitude, behavior, and technique. We need to prospect, we need to sell, we need to train. And every single day, and maybe we'll have this conversation another time, but I love when my clients catch me saying, wait, in our second sales call, that's exactly what you said. And I said, well, and here you sit. But I have, is it a luxury? I guess it's a luxury of teaching and training people to do what I do every single day of my life. And I have another affirmation that I am grateful to be in a business that changes lives, is fun, and makes money. Is it easy for me? Is it easy as easy for me as it is for other people in a sales role or business owners? Don't tell anybody, but no, it's not really any easier. Now, I'm pretty disciplined in my sales process and my belief systems. Well, we've got the same stuff we've got to do. We've got people, we've got things that aren't in our control, right? And I can only emotionally respond to the things that I can control, not the things that are outside my control. So I've got to keep my own emotional balance even and not get upset about business things, because it is, we're running our own companies.
Yeah, you get this comfort, you get these skills, and obviously you make a huge difference with your clients. I love that they pick out, hold on, you said that to me. It's like, yes, too right I did. And let me show you why and the reasons why. I love the authenticity in what you do. But as you grow, that imposter syndrome, it's sneaky, but it's because you grow. It's because we evolve. We go to that next level. So where is it that maybe right now has got a bit of excitement, maybe a bit of fear? What's on the horizon for you? What are you most looking forward to? But also, is, you know, there's going to be a next level for you in terms of a new skill you need to do, a new process you need to add on, some uncomfort you need to go through. What's that like for you? Because it's different for everyone.
This. So right now we're launching a internal campaign. You can't tell anybody this, so don't broadcast this. Okay. I have three clients who are on the Inc. 5000. They've encouraged me to go find a way to communicate with their peers who are in the Inc. 5000, because what they got from us got them to there. How do we? They have a lot of things in common. How can we do that? So I like to try and get out of my comfort zone, right? We've got a process and a system. So, boy, it was in the fall, Mark, and I was offered an opportunity to do one of two things. do a seminar at the Women Business Leaders Forum for a big trade organization we have, or I could do a TED-style talk in front of 500 women. Do you know how many other male speakers there were at that conference?
Not many.
Zero. So I was sweating a little bit, and I was changing my mind, and I was changing my message right up until I got the microphone in my face, and I stood up there in front of the lights and all these people and went. And then it came out, and it was fine. And I believe, not just for me, but for everybody, we have to do something every day, week, month, whatever it is, that really gets us out of our comfort zone, because as you know, that's where the magic happens. And if we're not doing that, we're not just not growing, we're falling behind.
Yeah. I love that. And it's so true. There's some tangibility to do something, even just small, that pushes you, that stretches you, not to the point of exhaustion, but something that it's an evolution. We're always evolving. So what's on your horizon that you're most looking forward to? What is it that do you have this future all planned out with your business and where it's going? Are you still finding the way and taking these hints and these tips from those people, those clients, and seeing where this leads you? What's your path like right now?
That's a really interesting, insightful thought. It's changed. So I had a picture about 7 years ago that I was going to be the behemoth Sandler organization in the Northeast of the United States. And as I broke that down, right, we have goals, plans, and actions. As I got down to the plans and the actions, it didn't fit with, and I don't know where you got it, but my personal mission statement that I developed, I was forced to develop from a guy who looked like me now, made me sit in a room till 8 o'clock at night until I came up with something. I want my job here is to help people live life and to lead by example. And I recognized that that model didn't work for what I was going to do. It was taking me a little more out of touch. I like the one-on-one interaction. And I get as a business model, and I teach and train this as a business model, may not be the optimal model for the business, if you will. But for me, what I've changed to is the optimal model for me. And I'll be able to retire. We'll be just fine. I am helping people change lives. Of course, that's their job, and I just get to help them along the way. I have a pretty clear path, but I got on the path by screwing up some other paths and recognizing, hey, it's okay to change your goals, because maybe those goals were based on what other people thought you should be doing or how you were comparing yourself to other people. And I think that's toxic, may be a strong word, but I think that's a challenge when we do goal setting.
Yeah, I think what you said there is perfect. You found what's optimal for you. Now, mission statements, they can change. These can evolve. Of course they can. Nothing is set in stone, but it gives you that North Star, that guiding light. That's when we're emotionally or mentally challenged, worried, out of alignment, it brings us back in. This is where we're going. It's a reset. But you found the model for you. And that's what we scream and shout about all the time. Find the right marketing for you, find the right platform for you, find the right business for you. Once you find, rather than you need to do this, we tried that. We tried TikTok and Facebook ads and all this stuff. It didn't work out well for us. We were out of alignment. Once we found the right business model, marketing, way of working, way of being, magically things started to get a bit easier. So I love that. Put that on a t-shirt. Find the optimal model for you. That's most of the hard work, right?
It is. And sometimes, and I'll agree with 87.5% of that, Mark, but I think there are things we need to do that we're not comfortable with. I need to make more warmish phone calls. It's an efficient use of my time. I, like you, probably love networking. It's great. It gets great results. Uh-huh. Podcasts, fantastic. There are other things in a prospecting behavior, or what we call a cookbook, that we probably need to do also. So I've hired some people to do some of the things I'm really not good at, and I've proven over well over a decade, I'm just not going to do, whether they're good for me or not. But they're being done. Are they being done as well as I would do? We talk about that in our leadership programs about delegation. You know all about that.
Yeah.
No, of course, neither of them do it as well as, in my opinion, I do. Of course, I could be wrong about that. But hey, if they're getting the results and they're getting it done, I just need to leave it alone, let them follow the process, and I will do. I'm a big fan of building on your strengths.
That is again, you teach and train a process. That's what it's all about. Look, Cal, I think we could talk for hours on this. There's so much we could talk about, but thank you so much for sharing your business, some hints, some tips, some advice as we go through this, for riffing on a few really good principles, and also for sharing a bit more sort of behind the scenes for you with your business. It's always fantastic. So thank you so much.
Well, thanks for being insightful and asking the hard questions, because often people don't ask me the hard questions, so I really appreciate it when they do. And this is real life. We have businesses, we got struggles, we got family, we've got time and things we need to juggle, right? I spent Saturday morning with grandkids at a parade, and I spent 2.5 hours yesterday sitting in my desk working, which I didn't want to do, but what a great trade-off that was.
Well, thank you for sharing. And look, for those people who want to know more about you and the incredible work that you do, how can they reach out? How can they find you?
I'm easy to find. Sandler, Sandler, Morristown, New Jersey. Email Cal, Cal dot Thomas at Sandler.com. I'm on social media. Find me on LinkedIn. That'll be pretty easy. And I'm always open to having an interesting conversation with a like-minded individual. For me, it's not about selling. It's about having smart conversations like these. And this was a blast. So thank you very much for inviting me.
You're so welcome. Thank you so much. So everyone, if you're curious or think this sounds fantastic, go and check it out. Reach out, start the conversation, say Mark sent you, and just have a good conversation or ask for help. But again, look, Cal, thank you so much. This has been, yeah, it's been a lot of fun.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Hey, Katie.
Yeah, Mark.
Wanna do an outro?
I sure do.
Sweet. Hey, thank you so much for listening and making it to the end.
Yay, you.
So what happens next?
We ask them the things that podcasters are supposed to ask at the end of an episode.
Can you please rate, review, download?
Subscribe. Yeah.
But why is it important?
Because that's how our podcast gets noticed.
It's how people find us.
It is, and we want all their earballs.
All the earballs all over the place.
We do.
Nice.
Yeah, so please do all those things. We'll be ever so grateful.
And then more people hear your beautiful voice.
Or yours.
Oh, yeah. See you next time.
Bye.